Hey, everybody, another episode, a special live streaming episode of Talk About That. I'm John.
And I'm Johnny.
And we're here to continue the podcast, taking it to new heights, new levels that's never been before.
And we may never go this level again.
Johnny's already frustrated.
Like, I don't know, I feel like an old man. It's too much.
Are you crazy kids?
We got a camera over here that's linked to my channel. Then there's a camera over there that's linked to the Talk About That Facebook channel.
Yep.
And then we even had people on Twitter who were like, do you have to have a Facebook to... Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you do. And guys, I get it. I would love to not have a Facebook along with you, but it's what's required in society.
Now that we've said that, we're going to pull the plug.
Sorry, Facebook. Thank you for letting us have this free service.
Is it free, though, John?
Let's be honest, Johnny.
Or are they slowly sapping our life energy?
They're taking lots of things. Well,
we were talking about this at lunch because Instagram recently removed the ability to see, for other people to see how many people like your videos. There's the low battery over there.
Oh, that's yours.
We're going to plug it in. Do we have a charger cable?
Y'all keep...
John.
It's yours. It's your iPad.
This audio podcast for Monday is going to be like, fascinatingly bad.
Well, we've already... If you're listening to Monday's podcast...
We're so sorry.
Yeah, right now, Johnny's going to go get a charging cable while he fixes this up. Sorry, everybody, but... What has been happening before we pushed record is we've been talking to our live stream audience to make sure they could hear us and make sure it's all checked out, which is kind of one of my pet peeves, by the way, in life, is when somebody starts. I don't really watch a lot of live stream things, but when they do and they're all like, can you hear me right now? You need a power. Here. Look at this.
Where do I plug it into?
Is there a behind there?
I see Ethernet.
Oh, man.
Got it.
He's got it. He's plugging it in right now, you guys. You can't get this level of authenticity. Wow. Look at that.
America.
All right. So if you're watching on Johnny's stream, you just got his face right up in your grill.
Your business.
All up in your grill. So.
All right. Well, Instagram removed the likes, and they said it's for like people's mental health. They were being like very altruistic about it. Like, well, people are... losing their sense of, I don't know what it is. There's got to be a monetary reason they're doing it, right? That's what we feel.
I wonder if there's like a government sanctioned type, hey, where the research is showing that mental health is in decline because of this, and we're going to...
Hasn't mental health been in decline since the dawn of time, though? Like, whose mental health is better? Do you think we're healthier?
I feel like people in the... I feel like that the general, again, when you're telling me generalize or stereotype, it's very difficult. It won't reach everybody, but I do feel like that there was less of the outside stimuli and stressors four generations ahead of us than there are today.
I don't know.
Think about it. What you had to worry about was going to work, your family. You know, right now I worry about so many other things because my phone keeps blowing up and telling me what's wrong with the world.
Speaking of which.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fine.
Yeah.
But yes, I don't know. I think it's interesting. And I wonder if Facebook's, because Facebook owns Instagram, are they going to follow suit with that whole thing of like, hey, we're going to, you know, not tell you how many people have, because that's, a lot of people make money on that. That's how they monetize their channel.
Yeah.
You know, if I was to say like if you're drinking from that cup and you're like, thanks, Fresca.
Thank you.
Now you just made $200,000 from Fresca.
Do they still make Fresca?
I don't know. It's a grapefruit soda.
I think that I know people who like Fresca, but they're like a small subset of the population. Yeah.
Do you like any specific drinks that are really like fringe drinks?
I had a youth pastor who loved Tab. That would be another one of those fringe drinks. And Tab... Tab is like opening up a pack of Sweet and Low and
it's
liquefying it. Like, it's horrible.
Tim Hawkins used to say it's carbonated Ipecac. It's just gross.
Yeah, it's really nasty. I'm not a diet... People like they keep Diet Coke, not because...
Right.
Not because they have to, because, let's be honest, Coke Zero Sugar tastes more like real Coke. They keep it because people have developed a taste now for the artificial, and I can't imagine such a thing.
What
Why
about
would you
this?
Ever like that?
Well, I always used to hear this, and I went off soda for a while, and they were like, go off soda, because I had a really bad problem with Diet Coke. Go off soda, then when you come back, it'll be like medicine to you. It'll taste like syrup.
Yeah.
And I went off soda for 3 weeks, and I came back, and it was like kissing Jesus on the lips. So they were wrong. Soda's amazing.
You loved it.
I was incredible.
It was amazing.
And but I've been off of it now for a while.
Yeah, you have been off of it.
Because I've not had a soda in almost 5 months.
Wow. Hey,
And that's why we can wear matching shirts, bro. Look at us. Are you a Smedium too?
We switch shirts.
Smedium.
Always call it soda? Because you're, I don't know if you know this.
From the South, you say everything's a Coke, right?
You're from East Tennessee, yeah. And you've always said soda. I kind of feel like you've been trying to escape or outrun sort of your East Tennessee roots because you do
with my fancy book learning. What do you guys think? Is it Coke? Is it pop? I like soft drink. Yeah. No one says soft drink. First of all, but it's the hardest thing you can do to your body other than liquor is a soda. And they call us, I think that was like, that's a marketing.
Why they did it,
that's
though.
A marketing. That's a branding decision.
Yeah.
Call them soft drinks. Nobody will
even
know.
Because hard drinks.
That you could dissolve a piece of hamburger meat. You ever seen that test where they put hamburger meat in a
Well, you
in a
pour
pool
a Coke,
Coke
down to the toilet and gets rid of all the grime and stuff around it. Supposedly.
You know what else does that? Ajax. Not a sponsor.
Yeah, not a sponsor at all.
No.
But I do think that they did that because, again, a hard cider. So hard goes along with alcoholic. And so they called it a soft drink because they were marketing to people, okay, yeah. Hey, this isn't a bottle. And all they had at that point were like beer bottles. This is a soft drink instead of a hard drink.
Hard cider, not a sponsor.
I'm going out on a limb and saying, so we are getting some comments here. Somebody just said pop. And someone else said Coke, and someone else said soda. So
well, that's the thing in the South that you always hear is like somebody says, give me a Coke, and they say, what kind? And you say Mellow Yellow. So like you call everything Coke.
Right. You used to always be like, can I get a Coke? What flavor? Orange.
Orange. Yeah. Well, now they make orange Coke, so you couldn't do that anymore. They make cinnamon Coke. What is that about?
Chew.
That's out of control.
Cinnamon Coke?
Mm-hmm.
It has to have vanilla or something, too, right?
I don't think so. It's
straight cinnamon.
Well, it's maybe that's, you know, the people do that with whiskey now. There's a cinnamon whiskey.
Yeah, but those flavors seem like they would go together better than a
seem
Coke.
Seem like, John, or you have first-hand knowledge?
Just off the top of my head.
The teetotalers all just clear the feed now.
And we're out. Lots of angry faces are scrolling down.
Pentecostal roots that are upset right now.
Right now, yeah.
It's okay.
It's okay. All I said was, is it would appear to me.
It would appear to you based.
Like when I go to a Chinese restaurant and order the bourbon chicken.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll call it that. Maybe cinnamon might work with that.
What about that? I heard this too, the people that say like, oh, I had the beer battered onion rings, but the beer cooks out.
Right.
That's not true at all. You can't cook alcohol out of things. There's still alcohol. Like if you cook with beer or you have a rum cake and you're like, oh, but it all, that's not true at all in the least bit. You're kidding yourselves.
That's a lot. Johnny, actually, the heat removes the alcohol content. That's just a fact of cooking.
Mm-mm. I'm telling you, I read a thing recently that said that's just.
Where'd you read
that's
it?
Something
was that Wikipedia?
I wrote it in, and then I read it back to myself, and I was like,
I tweeted
well, that's
it,
pretty good.
Clicked on the link.
That makes sense.
And that's what I discovered.
I'm making a lot of sense over here.
I was right.
Oh, like we have so many old friends watching. This is so cool.
This is great.
Amy Sharpie from your old youth group.
What? Hi, yeah. Amy.
From Maryville days.
Oh, my goodness. I love Amy so much.
And she's all married and family and everything.
Amy's the best. Hi, Amy. So good to see you.
My buddy Jaron Myers, another comedian's watching.
Nice.
Hopefully. I mean, he's probably judging. He's like, I could do a way better podcast than this.
He may be right.
He's got, good. He's got a lot more Facebook likes than I do. He's doing good.
Anna Beth Grant, good to see her. Weren't you just there this weekend?
Where?
Weren't you in Lewisburg?
I was. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Hey, Annabeth.
Yeah.
Did a show for the Lewisburg Community Center.
Nice.
Which, it sounds prestigious, and that's because it is.
It is very.
They do a big tree lighting every year.
Or no, prestigious, if you wanted to say it correctly. But weren't you, was Lewisburg where the Walking Horse Inn was?
He mentioned it.
Did he really?
He mentioned it. He goes, yeah, the last time we put you here. So John and I were in a Christian rock band. In the late 90s, early 2000s, which was the best time to be in a Christian rock band.
Oh, my goodness.
Was there a better time? I submit no.
Yeah.
And so we did a lot of shows. We got paid in pizza and Kohl's cash a lot of places.
Yeah.
That's what happens. And
did they have Kohl's back then?
They did.
Okay.
I don't know. It wasn't a lucrative position to have.
No.
So we did that, and one of the places we stayed was we did a show in Lewisburg, Tennessee, and they put us up at this hotel called the Walking Horse Inn. We go out for lunch. We put our stuff down.
Yeah.
Go out for lunch. We come back, and all over our stuff and all over the walls were termites.
Termites.
The complete hotel was infested with termites. And
for some reason, I felt like we had opened up our bags to change.
Yeah, they were in the bags, maybe.
Or something. Yeah. Yeah, it was like
And I had just packed my wooden shoes from Holland.
That's probably what attracted them.
And so I should have known better than to bring those. You can't wear balsa wood around.
No.
But I don't know what that's about.
It was actually a terrific memory.
Like we talked about last week, when you think something's really a bad deal, but then it ends up being a great memory because you're like, we're going to tell this story forever.
Right. I mean, we didn't hold anybody who brought us in responsible. That's not their fault.
I think he felt responsible because he's like, this makes him think Lewisburg is just trash. Maybe I wonder if they still have that hotel.
Oh, I'm sure they do, surely.
The Walking Horse Inn still there?
But once and for all, we can say we've never held you responsible. It's a great memory, and we forgive you. All is well. Now, do we forgive the Walking Horse Inn? I don't know. I don't know. Let's see if they'll—hey, Walking Horse Inn, not a sponsor, but perhaps if they gave us a free night—
You want to stay there again?
I don't know. What else can we do while we're there?
So here's what happened in my house the other day. We don't have a pest control contract. I'm very cheap about that stuff. I'm like, wait till I see some bugs.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't do preventative bug maintenance?
No. I'm like, let me see a bug, and then we'll talk. Because generally speaking, I don't have a lot of bugs.
Wow.
So the other day we come home, and in our sink, we have some dishes. We've left some dishes to soak. Do you do that at home? So let the dishes soak. I've got air quotes up.
How long do you let them soak, Johnny?
Until Curry does them. And so it's like a race. You one person soaks and the other one's like, all right, you let them, and I'm going to come back and let the barnacles. Because, if you have like a bowl of cereal and you don't rinse it right away, it is on there. That is now, Fruity Pebbles are now part of that bowl.
Wow.
They may have been glazed on. So you got to let them soak.
Yep.
So we're letting everything soak, and there was just ants completely just. Little black ants all in our sink. But the food that's sitting on the counter, they're not touching. But we're just infested with ants, and Curry's freaking out. So she starts killing all the ants. And she sprays Lysol. That's not – we don't have Raid. We don't even have
– Probably just stung a little bit.
They were like – they felt cleaner. They were
very
like,
clean.
I'm so shiny. And
you could eat these ants. They're so clean.
Wonderful. 99.9%. But – so she kills all the ants, and we're thinking we need to call the guy. The next day, no ants. None. They're gone.
So your whole theory backfired.
It was one big barrage of ants that we had to deal with.
Right.
We dealt with it in our own way.
But the pest control guy thought it was a mirage.
No, we still not called. Like, I'm still
holding
out.
Didn't call him.
Well, I feel like it's an isolated incident.
In my
mind,
it's like when your car's making a noise, you take it to the mechanic and it won't make it, you know?
Yeah.
Or when you're having a health issue, you go to the doctor and it won't repeat.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the same instance, though, the guy should ask, like, what noise is it making? Like, that's the same kind of problem, you know? I think if you're a doctor, you should be able to call your doctor and he'd be like, tell me what noise it's making.
Hold on.
You have to, is it a... You're like, holy moly.
Oh, my gosh.
That is violent.
You swallowed a weed eater.
That is violent diarrhea.
By the way, your wife has corrected you.
Already?
And she said, for baked or simmered dishes with alcohol mixed in, after 2.5 hours of cooking time, 5% of the original alcohol is left.
Okay, so some of it's still there.
You said it's almost all there.
No, I didn't.
Like only 5%.
There's no way to go back and watch this.
But the alcohol is added to a boiling liquid and then removed from the heat, 85% remains. I don't know what dish you would add alcohol to a boiling liquid.
Maybe like a liquid. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe like something with brandy that's like a dessert.
But like if you make something that it's baked into it, then it gets
It's funny that all the teetotalers that we grew up going to church with, they'd freak out if they saw somebody having a glass of wine with dinner.
Right.
And then every year, I'm going to name her, Cindy Holland, makes these cherries and she puts, what's in them?
Brandy.
Brandy is in these chocolate covered cherries.
Yeah.
And all these same women, they're like, well, I saw so-and-so and she had a beer with dinner. They freak out and want to excommunicate them. And then they go, Cindy, when are your cherries going to be ready? Now, I know those had the real stuff in them. There's nothing.
No, she does offer both loaded and regular.
Loaded and regular.
They are.
I just thought it was funny to me, as like the hypocrisy of that. Like the idea of it's so funny.
Yeah, but
to
it's
me.
Such a small amount. You'd have to eat like a whole bag of
all
cherries.
All I know is they burn your throat.
Let me tell you something.
They feel
they're the
warm.
Best Christmas desserts ever. And Cindy, if you're listening to this, I'm begging you. Like
she makes everything.
She
good.
Fills up a garage full
she does.
Of cherries and gives them out, and they're amazing. They're like a holiday tradition that I will not.
Cindy Holland, not a sponsor. But
not a spot. She could be a sponsor.
When I was college pastor here, mm-hmm. and we would have stuff, we would have the students over and the young adults over to my house.
Yeah.
And she would make stuff.
Yeah.
And it would be stuff you'd never even think of. Mm. She made this, the one thing was like a sopapilla. You know what a sopapilla is?
I do know what a sopapilla is.
It's like a deep fried tortilla.
Right.
And then cinnamon sugar.
Yeah.
Whipped cream. Chocolate.
Maybe ice cream.
A couple of corn dogs. Whatever. Yeah. So Jeffrey brings in this thing and he called it a sloth bowl.
Well, he also calls it a bowl of goo.
A bowl of goo. Well, yeah. Bowl of goo is different. That's usually like a creamier dessert. A sloth bowl is specifically the sopapilla.
You think that Jeffrey's differentiates between the 100%. Bowl of goo and
he knows
the
what he's
sloth
doing.
Bowl. He's in Hawaii right now, by the way.
No.
I wonder if
working?
He's watching. Yes. Yeah, his wife's here otherwise.
He just go to Hawaii. See ya.
He would be in big trouble. No, I do. I think that we need to ask Jeffrey. But
with
either
what
way, they're good names.
Bowl of goo from sloth bowl.
Yeah.
Jeffrey's got a way about him. He's got a way with words.
He does.
He's got his own language, really.
You guys could go into the archives and see an interview with Jeffrey.
Or here.
Correct. You could see the episode
the
and then click
pictures
on it.
That are made with your mind.
Right. You'd have to
see it.
Imagine what he looks like while you're doing it.
We're getting a ton of things over here. What is happening over there, John?
Allison says bowl of goo and sloth bowl are two different things.
Thank you, Allison.
Oh, this is everyone always says when they're listening they want to speak
they
out loud
shout out.
To
what happened
things.
This past episode because I said, what is Saturday? Because I said we got Cyber Monday and Black Friday. And people said they were shouting, small business. And I'm a small business. And I forgot it. That
they're
it was
small business Saturday.
At their podcast
device.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have friends that
but they could
the
actually type that in all caps now. And
it makes me wonder if people think that we're wrong that much.
We're wrong a lot.
I hear that a lot.
I
wanted to say.
Part of when you try to make content that's an hour of content, that's what's going to happen. You're going to speak about a subject that you don't know everything about.
Yeah.
Because like if you had somebody said this the other day on Twitter, if you had to do a TED talk and talked intelligently for 10 to 15 minutes about something that you know a lot about, what would it be? And a lot of people had responses. When you do a podcast, you do an hour a week, and so you can't know everything about everything. You're just giving opinions. And a lot of them are uninformed.
I do feel like that you're kind of diminishing the value of the podcast right now. You're basically telling everybody that everything we say can't be trusted.
I'm saying I don't trust you.
I've spent all these years thinking you knew all kinds of stuff, and there's a good chance you were just making it up, is what you're saying.
Like the alcohol thing?
By the way, somebody has asked to see my medals.
Oh, my gosh, that's right. We can see them. They're right
Hold
here.
On, stand by.
Hang on, we got them. They're underneath a coat. He hit them under a bushel.
Oh, no.
Look at this.
Oh, what?
You
sorry,
guys.
That was my surf team tag stuck there with him. Here is the, that's the Ippy, the blue one.
Did you
one.
Say your serve team for the church tag was, so you had to discard that so the medals could be seen
that's
better?
Right, that's
Man,
right.
That will preach.
And then there is my,
that will preach.
Reader's favorite award right there. So, yeah, they're kind of, there they go. I don't get a medal for my first place, though. And here's the deal. The medals are kind of funny to me.
Yeah.
But if I won first place, I wish that one offered a medal. You know what I'm saying? That
if you're going to get first place, get a medal.
Right. Instead, I'm getting a certificate, which is great. But then you have to go to the trouble of framing it, which seems really pretentious at that point. Like, this is just medals hanging in my office I can make fun of. I don't feel pretentious because what I'm going to do with them, throw them away? I'm not going to throw them away.
You don't throw a medal. Although, that's kind of what you should do.
That's what Jesus
maybe.
Would do.
You melt it down and make something for a poor person.
Somebody else.
Yeah,
right.
To help them.
I don't know.
What would you make metal for somebody that's
it's
in need?
It's not a lot of metal. I don't really know what I would make. Might make a... I mean, everything I can think of would not be useful.
You watching The Mandalorian? The Mandalorian melts down all the credits to strengthen his armor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I want to make
like
a spoof version of The Mandalorian that's like this Star Wars character who's in a bluegrass band. I think that would be...
That's not bad.
A Mandalorian.
A Mandalorian.
Yeah. Medals are now renowned. Giovanna Gomez says, unfortunately, my TED Talk would be about juvenile delinquency. I'm not an expert
just
in anything
extra
else.
Extra sad TED Talk.
Which makes me very boring, I feel. You know what, Giovanna? We appreciate the expert opinion that you bring. And the work that you do actually as a social worker is amazing. So,
yeah,
not boring at all. You know, I would listen to that TED Talk.
Social worker is kind of an old term. It almost sounds like today it would be somebody who helps people feel less awkward.
Yeah.
You know? Like people who have trouble in social situations.
Social worker.
You come in and they're like, all right, they're going to walk up to you. They're going to offer you a drink. You say yes.
You say, yes, I would like one, please. And look them in the eye. Okay. And stop looking so shifty. You know, or whatever. Yeah.
That's a social worker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's a funny idea.
Yeah.
You just made fun of probably the most important profession
I did.
That we have right now
I
in society.
Diminished,
but go
I didn't
for
mean
it.
To condescend to social work. That means talk down to.
Somebody said we could melt the metals down to brass knuckles. That's a good idea.
That's not bad.
That's a good idea right there.
But, yeah, because you'd have like a weapon.
Yeah.
Do they still make brass knuckles? Is that a thing?
I think you can still get them at that store.
The one that I always thought was cool was brass knuckles with the knife coming off of it. That's like extra. You punch and stab.
Yeah.
Remember that? I think you'd hurt yourself more with those. It's a risk.
I'd be one of those guys on the television shows, like the ones where the forensics is a little more accurate. One of those guys that got into a fight and really hurt himself a lot, because I don't think I'm ready for it. This idea that I was going to punch somebody a bunch of times and feel nothing.
No training.
Like one punch, I'd be like, ow.
It hurts your hand.
I'd be that guy. Yeah. I find that if you've never been in a fight before, my best guess is before you throw that punch in rage to defend yourself.
You've never been in a fight?
I fought with my brother, but I wouldn't really count that.
Those are some of the most brutal fights, though, with your brother.
We had like normal brother fights.
Not like punching, though.
One time I really jumped him for something. We were like teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, and I really, I was like really, really upset. But I don't think, even then, like... So there was a good friend who's probably watching this that we recently had, we were that close. Like we were having a real conversation that really helped our relationship.
Okay.
But we were both pretty on the edge. Yeah. And there was another friend hovering near who says, I was just watching in case something were to crazily happen that I would come. And then he said, I would come pull him off of you.
Oh, he assumed that the other
and
person's going to win.
I was very offended.
I would start filming and be like, world star! And I'd film it and try to monetize that somehow.
And I said like, hey, like, why would you assume
that I'm going to be the
guy,
one that needs help?
And he said, well, I can see the other guy's eyes. And what he was, if you guys were to have a physical altercation, he would just be thinking nothing. He said, but I know
more likely to fight dirty.
Right. What I know you would have been thinking is don't hurt, insert his name. Don't hurt.
You got the pastoral mindset.
Like I would have been thinking, I'm in this fight to make a point, but don't hurt him. And he's not thinking anything. I've just started a fight with somebody who's in a rage.
Yeah, I wonder if I could light him on fire.
I was still offended, though. I think he's probably right.
I've been in fights with my brother. Now, when you're in fights with your brother, here's the thing. Here's the go-to move. And tell me if you'd know this.
Stick a sock in his mouth. That's what he used to do to me.
No, he didn't.
Dirty sock.
That's not a go-to move.
Hold you down with legs on your
arms. That's what they did in A Few Good Men that killed the guy.
And then he would be very... Well, it was a dirty sock. It was to be disgusting, not to choke you or anything. And then he would hit me a lot while you hitting yourself.
That's a code red.
You can't
handle. Who ordered the code red on you? Your dad's like all evasive. I don't know if I ordered it or not. Okay, so here's what my brother would do. He'd get in a fight with me. He was leaner than me. He was a skinny guy. So then he would go get on the bed. He would get on his back and just start kicking his legs. Bicycle kick. You can't get in there. It's like,
oh, wow.
You can't get in there when you're going to catch a foot to the face.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Just like, it's like one-sided praying
mantis. It's like nunchucks when you can't get... Yeah. You can't get in.
Is it nunchucks or nunchucks?
I think it's nun.
Is it?
Did I say nun?
You said nun.
Well, when they hit you, you go numb.
A nunchuck seems like something that a nun uses.
A nun uses
like,
to...
I can just
she melts down your metals and makes...
Right. She's got her brass knuckles and her nunchucks.
Nunchucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like a shoe that she would wear. I got my nunchucks. Let's get out of here. And then she goes and helps people. I don't know what nuns do.
To break these nuns' habits of violence. Hey, here's the thing that we are not realizing right now. There is another live stream going on with
and it's
comments,
got questions too.
And we're not being able to.
We can't get to them. Go look and see if you can read a few.
One of us could log into that on our phones and have one here and another there. And if you're listening on Monday right now, audio-wise.
So exhausted.
We're very sorry. I want to know how many of you are going to watch right now, listen to this podcast, even though you're not hearing our audio the same way it'll be if you listen to our beautifully produced audio podcast. And you're also going to listen again on Monday. That's a question for those of you watching. Who's going to also listen on Monday?
Okay, so this is true. So I have another friend that I used to work at the movie theater with, Gabe Gagliardi. He is the guy I was telling you about who's a realtor in Seattle now.
All right. Ooh, love Seattle.
Gabe's awesome.
Yeah.
So I went to my challenge Gabe to a basketball
game. Okay.
And I was like, I got this. I grew up playing basketball, and he beat me really bad.
Mm.
And it was embarrassing. But I think I could take him now. Like, we're both in our 40s.
There's only one way to find out. We need him to fly us to Seattle.
I want a rematch. That's right. Bring me to Seattle. Put me up wherever.
Yeah.
Just whatever.
Right. Walking horse in.
Yeah.
Right.
Or whatever Seattle's.
Whatever you got.
Equivalent. And then we'll play again. But it's a handicap match this time, and you play with me. So it's 2-on-1.
Oh.
So I can kick it out to you for the 3.
Dude, you and I have won some basketball games.
We have.
Do you remember?
And we've eaten a lot of little chocolate donuts.
Aaron Uglum says that he will probably listen again. Thank you. Because, this is going to affect our downloads. Yeah. If people watch now and they don't download, that's why we need you guys to help us get more downloads.
We need more people listening.
At least open it up for a second so I get the downloads, you know, so.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Tell me this. Are you preaching this Sunday? I'm not going to be here again. So I assume that you are.
I am preaching.
That's usually how it times out.
I am preaching. You're never here. And you act like it's a completely
thing. I never cared for you as a communicator.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of communicating, you did it today, and I had to correct you on your communication skills.
Did you look at my salad?
You got it. No, did they mess it up?
You tell them what happened, and then I'll tell you.
So, John gets this wedge salad. We eat at the same place every week before we come to the podcast.
We're both very monogamous with food and restaurants.
No, we're not. John is.
Because he's keto. That is not true.
And he can only eat at like two restaurants and stay on his dumb, weird diet.
Okay, that is not true. I can eat at other restaurants. I just really like chicken wings. They're the perfect keto food. I eat wings so much.
So we go to Longhorn Steakhouse, not a sponsor, because we're making that kind of coin. And then John gets these dumb wings, but he gets a wedge salad. And this is how he orders wedge salad. I'm going to have the wedge salad. You can keep the blue cheese crumbles, but I want ranch dressing.
Because it normally comes with blue cheese dressing and blue cheese crumbles.
So I said, you know, it sounds like you're saying hold the blue cheese crumbles. Like, keep the blue cheese crumbles. Don't want those. Bring me ranch dressing.
Keep them on the salad.
But I said, all you got to do is say, I would like these.
I'm sorry. I've ordered this way all the time, and I usually get the blue cheese crumbles.
Let me tell you how to order it in English now.
Well, just so you know, when the salad
came, did you get your blue cheese crumbles?
It did not have blue cheese crumbles.
I didn't look.
You were right.
Man,
I've got
a flair for language, y'all.
Yeah, I tell you what. Matt Stewart says, by the way, that keto is ridiculous. Can I even really trust a guy who can't spell ridiculous?
He's that upset. He's typing.
He was just like, no, I can't. His fingers were just enlarged with rage.
Wow. Your typing is ridiculous.
Yeah, let me tell you. Ed Wiley's watching.
Ed Wiley is one of my favorite guys.
Yeah, he's great. I haven't got to spend a lot of time with Ed. Just a few times he's been here, I've got to. I'm usually like introducing you, and then you're coming out and hosting the whole thing, and I'm trying to keep everything from falling apart behind the scenes.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. We're putting Ed and me and Brian Bates are trying to put together a show for Lebanon, the Capitol Theater.
Oh, nice.
So a little hometown show, hopefully, coming up soon, first of the year.
Do you think that they should call it the Capitol Theater in Lebanon? Because the Capitol's in Nashville.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a misnomer a little bit, like that it's a misdirection. You're trying to benefit, but you're really 25 miles away from Nashville.
Yeah.
You know.
I think you should say something.
Tell them whenever you try to book that show.
Yeah, I'm going to be sure and do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, hopefully that'll happen because that'd be a fun lineup.
Oh, yeah.
Three of us on there.
Oh, speaking of.
Yeah.
This
is going to be the worst segue ever, right?
My kid's school. So you are doing a comedy event.
I needed to ask you, what date was that?
No, I've told you five times.
I've not written it down.
Okay. Sorry if you're listening from... Johnny will be there because our friendship is hinging on it.
Oh, man.
So Sadie's school, MJCA, is doing an event for their fine arts department, and it's a talent show, but they want... They talked to me about you and I doing some things, and I told them I'm not really a comedian. You know, I'm an award-winning humorist. If you want me to get up and read to you, I could do that.
Oh, that's wonderful. That sounds like an amazing
prose
evening.
That goes so silly that it just after a while you make it laugh at how stupid I am that I wrote that much. That's really my whole technique. But apparently, when they released the Facebook advertisements about it this week, it says comedy. With Johnny W. and John Driver.
Oh, man.
So, well, we are going to do some music, I think, was the idea, maybe. That if nothing else, I can accompany you while you're doing some of your music things. We've done that a lot.
We have done that. Yeah. It'll go fine,
I'm sure. We may write in.
Assuming I still have the date available. What was it?
You're serious, aren't you?
I don't know. It's a Thursday, wasn't it?
It's a Thursday.
It's going to be fine, then.
I need you to write it down. I've told you now 18 times. And again,
did you tell me to?
I've done my due diligence.
Did you tell me to keep the date, like your blue cheese crumbles?
I need you to keep this date.
I need you to keep that date yourself.
If your agent said keep this date, you would know to hold it.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying?
But that's what I'm saying. Hold the blue cheese crumbles means keep them off the plate.
Right. But if I.
Did you eat blue cheese crumbles today or not?
I did not. So let it be.
My favorite part is you didn't say anything at the table because you were. That would be admitting that I was right.
Well, it would not have mattered to me so much that I would have asked them to bring me a little bowl of blue cheese crumbles.
You were just hoping I didn't look over at that salad. and it has some sense of superiority.
When she set it down, I didn't make eye contact with you. I looked at it. You were talking about your career or something else. You know, I don't know. You were waxing on and on about it.
Yeah.
So I just hoped that you didn't notice and ate my salad. And then you brought it up here. I'm just kidding. I really like Johnny's career, and I'm all about it. I'm here very supportive.
You really like my career. Get out of here.
I got your back, Johnny.
It'll be over after this anyway.
No, it's going to be fun. But we are, because the next weekend we're in Wisconsin together.
Yeah.
Even though you're selfishly flying out Saturday morning. Shocker, when I start preaching. Like, every time. Like, it's like you find a way.
I'll be there for fun, John.
But I'm not doing anything except stuff with you that night that you're doing. So I'm, once again, an add-on to your comedy. And then when it's my turn to do something, you just jet to the next gig.
I've watched you lead worship this past Sunday. I was in town.
You know what? This past Sunday...
You did good.
Well, thank you.
You guys, great. This band sound great. Now, I know Nashville gets that thing of, like, every band is great, but that's not true. There's a lot of really bad worship teams in Nashville.
Are we calling them out here? This seems not like
I'm not going to say names.
This is not the tone that we normally trust.
I'm not
going to
say what churches they go to. I'm just saying, like, the idea that, like, well, everybody's great. No, man, it takes work.
It does take work. Our worship director is really good, and our team is really good. But the deal that happened this week was that during our 8:30 serve team service, I was in the middle of a song, and suddenly... My keyboard. It's not the church's. I have this little kind of old keyboard that I just like the piano sound on. And it was kind of, we did some Christmas songs and stuff. And we did a new song that had a piano part. So sometimes I do guitar, sometimes I do keyboard. And today the keyboard was important.
Right.
And so, because I had the big intro to a song and all those things. And it literally, the power went out in the keyboard. It had
one of your medals dropped down on it.
I was wearing my medals and it interfered with the frequency. I put them under my shirt every Sunday. And so it kind of, you could jiggle it and it would kind of come back on. It's real janky. Like, I'm sorry I was using, I apologize now to all the people on the worship
team.
I'm
telling you what, see, this is a prosperity gospel. This is where you'd be like, and we need the best.
We need you.
The Lord's people should have the best.
You want you right now to stretch your hands towards the live stream. And I want you to think about being one of those $1,000 sponsors. So
I want you to go into your...
But seriously, we do Patreon. But anyway, this keyboard went out.
Yeah.
And then I thought it came back on. So we literally... I stopped. And then we kind of was like... Because we're in the next to last song anyway. And it was our serve team service. So like with our people who are working that morning, we're very like, hey guys, we're going to let you know we're working on this media problem or whatever. And they're kind of a part of our team. And when we would do the sermon, we ask them like, hey... What was confusing? They're kind of like helping us prepare for the big service, you know?
Right. And they were like, well, that was confusing.
Right. So they were like, well,
John switched to guitar for no reason.
Well, I didn't switch then. I came back to piano, and sure enough, it went out again. But we were doing a Christmas hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, which is so amazing. And so literally, we just decided to keep going a cappella, and it was beautiful. It was great. So, because it works for that. It's very, it's not quite Gregorian chant, you know, but it's hymny. It's hymny. And so then Dane was working on the keyboard because I was in teaching a membership class and while Andrew was doing the message. And he live video has stopped. We're going to need to push that. Okay, if you're watching the other one, oh man, we've lost it.
We lose the other one
too?
No. Hang on.
We've lost one of our live streams.
We're going to get it back.
It's going to come back.
I'm going to get it.
I wonder why it stopped. If you're listening to the audio podcast on Monday.
We'll edit this.
Yeah, we'll probably take this out for you. All right, for those of you who are watching on Johnny's, I'm assuming you're still there. We're having to restart the live stream on the Talk About That page. And Johnny's about to do that right now, if he can find it.
You would think I was.
If he can find it. Go up, go up. It's as if there no.
Yeah, it's not. Oh wait.
Live.
Connect.
And
what in the world?
Here, unclick that thing up there. Okay. To your right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're back live again on the other. Wow, I don't know why that happened. It was going so well.
It doesn't matter.
We probably, you think we should. So let me ask you, the other live stream, should we stop and repost?
No, just listen.
Just okay.
People get the gist.
It's live just now. It says, and I'm going to just share it real quick to my personal. Johnny, maybe you share it.
It's I don't know what's happening.
Yeah,
I just know people are already.
Yeah,
people are getting fatigued with us, and it's all good.
No, it's okay.
So my buddy Andrew Stanley's watching.
Oh, that's great. Hi, Andrew. Love your comedy.
He's so great.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah. He's one of those that'll make you mad, though, because he's so good, so young at it.
Yeah. You're right. I've kind of had bitterness against him the whole time.
Yeah.
So, but it's
this
good.
This feels like the proper forum for that.
Yeah, thank you. We're glad you finally logged on. So you must be stopped. Behind me, there's a whiteboard with a list of people to kill.
Yeah, we won't.
And I have it. Yeah, we don't show that in the show.
That's for the Patreon people to see.
Yeah, you might want to turn that just a skosh.
What am I doing?
Once you're like, oh, look at that.
Are you mad that you weren't on it as much?
Yeah.
I don't like your attitude.
Yeah. Anywho, the keyboard went out, and I switched over to guitar. So I had to play guitar.
Which is different. Guitar music for Christmas especially is tough.
So I had to go to our lead
every
guitar player.
Every word's a different chord.
Yeah, and I had, by the way, was playing capo 5 on the guitar for you musicians, and I to play C, so I had to, all my charts were in G, so I had to like transpose it in my head to try to just feel
Couldn't
my way
it.
Through.
I would have canceled the service and said, everybody go home.
Well, you do number system, don't you?
No.
You don't like in your mind go, well, that's the 1, that's the 4, that's the 5?
Somewhat. I mean, I just have a feel for it.
Yeah, you just kind of
I don't know if I'd call it.
I don't necessarily think of the numbers, so
they just happen.
They just happen, Johnny. The numbers.
How far
just
can
happen.
You carry out pi? You know, like pi. Can you carry?
Oh,
out
I can't.
You can't do it.
Just 3.14 is all I know. Why would I memorize that?
I don't know. I just figured. Weren't you a math guy?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, I'm not like a savant. Like, I'm not trying to prove myself with my math knowledge per se. I would like to use it.
Mission accomplished. You've not proven anything.
I would like to use I would like to use it. Functionally to get through life. So although I helped my niece the other day, if she listens or watches this, with her accounting, we were helping her study for her accounting exam at Thanksgiving at the table.
Right.
Apparently I would have failed the entire thing. It was online questions.
Oh,
like the way they were asking.
So you lost it.
I don't think it wasn't math. It was like, okay, this is a stupid question. And of course I would look at her and go, hey, you should have heard in class.
It's like story problems?
What they want. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, this business has this, but there are all these really specific things and then 5 things that all look the same to know how to answer. And I basically had every one of them wrong. So,
man.
Yeah.
You failed your daughter.
Like I realized, no, it was my niece.
You failed your niece.
But I realized that I have a business, like I have an LLC, and then there's no wonder that we're not doing well. So, but anyway, I am preaching though Sunday. It's Advent.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I'm on week 2. So Advent, you know, which is really exciting that we have kind of joined in some of the traditions that
liturgical
we weren't really. You weren't.
Such.
You didn't do Advent growing up, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't know all about it, and it's really kind of picked up in evangelical circles the past few years. People started doing it. I saw this though. I was out getting a birthday present for my niece, and she loves Paw Patrol.
Uh-huh.
Do you know about Paw Patrol?
Yes.
No idea.
Yes, my nephews watch
so
Paw Patrol.
So Paw Patrol everything on this aisle. And then I came across a Paw Patrol Advent calendar.
Really?
And I was like, well, that one's...
No way.
That one's new. I don't know if they sell that everywhere, but the South.
Wow.
The Paw Patrol Advent.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't know how it works, but then there's the chocolate calendar. I could get in on that.
There's chocolates. There's also a wine calendar, and there's a cheese calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pastor Andrew talked about
Andrew
that.
About the cheese calendar.
How he wanted the cheese calendar.
Yeah. And they sell it at Aldi.
Wow.
Yeah. I think Jeffrey, who has been mentioned a lot on the podcast, went and like camped out basically. Didn't camp out.
To
was
get
the
an
first
Advent
ones.
Cheese calendar? And that's how he's like.
But they limited to 2. So he got one for him and
Jeffrey and I used to always joke about camping out on Black Friday at like Joanne's Fabric. Like we were waiting on the doorbuster, the new Singer sewing machines.
Who did this?
Me and Jeffrey just talked about doing it, like setting up a tent just so people come by and be like, are they camping out? Are they homeless? Like not knowing because we're the only ones waiting on the new fabric swatches to come out.
Wow.
We're going to do it one year.
What if you camped out at REI in an REI tent, like outside?
Well, I'm sure people do camp out at REI.
But that's the irony is
you have the gear. You have to have the gear to do it.
In order to do it, like you set up a hammock outside of REI. That'd be great.
Just fine, too. Yeah.
But the Advent is week 2. We're doing the candles, and it's the Bethlehem candle.
How does that work? What's that about? Give me the...
Well, it's a...
Each week celebrates a certain aspect of waiting for the coming of Christ.
It's prophecy, candle, and hope is what Andrew did. And so you really talk about Isaiah, and you talk about really how from Genesis on, it points to Jesus. And we're reading that in our Advent devotions now with Sadie. You know, just that even from Genesis 1 where there's this, hey... The serpent will bite the heel, but the descendant of Eve will crush the head of the serpent. And so there's a lot of that in there. And that it's all throughout Scripture that Jesus is a part of it. And so that's what he did this week. He did a great job. This week on Bethlehem, it's about faith.
Yeah.
And so I'll really be talking about, like, what I love about Bethlehem is what a prophecy does is it lays out something very specific, because I think that we tend to want to act as if positive things in Scripture or positive things even in our life are very random.
Yeah.
And when they're random, it kind of plays into an evolutionary mindset. When something's random, then I'm not grateful for it.
Yeah.
I just kind of assume that I'm supposed to be
some
alive.
Some good things happen, some bad things happen.
Good things happen to people, and I'm only upset when the bad things happen. Then I turn to God and go, wait a second, you should have kept that from happening. But I don't turn to God and go, wow, I can't believe all the good things. Like, it's not like a normal thing for me to continue always seeing the good in things as intentional. So when God in the Old Testament points out so many specific things, that's, I think, the point of prophecy was so that you would understand his nature, that he planned this, and that you can trust him. So you can have faith in God because, man, when Bethlehem was foretold, did you know that he didn't just let this happen in happenstance fashion? Like, this was purposeful.
Yeah.
And that Jesus did that throughout the course of his life. He fulfilled these things, not just to be like, aha, gotcha. You know, I think we just act like prophecy is like some cool puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, but it really is supposed to lead you. And that's what, just for example, in Bethlehem, it leads you to understand that, you know, he didn't just do this to make some sort of foretelling that could be, that proved to you like a magic trick. He did this so that when it happened, you would understand he was intentionally thinking about you, intentionally thinking about how he's going to do this from the foundations of the world, that you're in this plan and that he saw these things. Because I think that becomes real, almost worship songy cliche.
Yeah.
God had you in mind when we say that, and it means nothing. It's very eye roll for me when someone says God had that in mind. And it's really, really good theology that we've just kind of taken and watered down. And I think that the hundreds and hundreds of prophecies foretold, such as Bethlehem, should increase the faith in my life to go, oh, there was a specific place, specific time, specific plan. How many times can you say specific back to back? That was tough.
That's too many. Yeah.
And so without messing it up. So just that idea that I have faith in the nature of God because the foretelling was intentional so that I would be able to trust him, that his plan included me. So anyway, that's kind of where I'm going.
Yeah, it's good. And I think Advent's, it's good. It's a good tradition to bring over into our circle of our community. I think it's been more, like you said, like more liturgical churches. Now you see more churches who are less liturgical doing it, or at least celebrating or giving readings from it, or I don't know. What Laura read was really neat, too. I told her I wanted to have that. It was from like a children's Bible.
Okay, so the Jesus Storybook Bible.
Yeah.
If you don't have one, everybody listening and watching, whether you're an adult, whether you have kids or not, you should get the Jesus Storybook
Bible. It was really
moving.
Yeah. I thought it was really great. And she did such a good job.
And it's exactly what Annie was talking about, in that it talks about the rescuer is to come throughout all the Old Testament, that God is sending a rescuer,
you know,
which is a true Greek and Hebrew expression of salvation.
Yeah.
Is that it's a rescuing and that a savior. You say savior, it just brings up, it just, the connotations are so different for us if we're out of a Christian culture. And so rescuer is another great word. They're both good, but it just kind of gives you that idea of someone coming to get you and you having no part of it.
Yeah.
Like you didn't have to for him to care about you. You were helpless, and at the right time Christ, you know, came and died and rescued.
No, she did such a great job, and it almost distracted me from the fact of, like, why is a woman in the pulpit reading? Like it enraged me on some way,
right.
But in another way I was like, but it's so good.
It's so good.
Like, we should still remove her from the room.
Right.
But I was like, man, while she's doing it, was really good.
I don't think she's watching right now. I think she's at Costco right now. She had to go get some things.
Free samples and such.
Yeah. So, but I can't wait for Monday.
No, I thought it was really good. And I actually asked her for the link to find that reading, because I thought, because I read the Christmas story since I was a little boy. I read it for our ministry that my mother founded, which is a housing ministry for mentally handicapped folks.
Yeah.
I read the Christmas story every year. So I go home to Knoxville and I do it. So I read from Luke chapter 2. And I thought this year I would read that.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was so good.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. There are things about Jesus Storybook Bible that I cry and Laura cries every time we read it, especially the Isaiah parts. They're very, you know, very powerful. I think that the whole Advent tradition too. I was talking to a friend yesterday. I don't know if you feel this way or not. In some ways, and again, I'm not dogging all the ways that we were raised and all those things. I think everybody, however you were raised, there's a point in life whenever you are looking for balance or you're looking for things outside that don't necessarily replace. So in some cases, there were unhealthy things that I am looking for more solid ground on. And it doesn't throw out everything that we ever knew. It doesn't mean it was all bad or that people's intentions were wrong or that it was all executed in a wrong way, because I've been a part of that.
Right.
I've been around long enough where I've done things with good intentions that I think could have had a more solid gospel foundation. But not having traditions like Advent, like just because we just didn't. And ours is a very 20th century movement that was started. And it really kind of in many ways discarded the previous 1900 years.
Yeah.
Under the intention that they were going to return to an early church tradition. Exactly. So they would, I would have disagreed with that. Well, no, we're doing exactly what we find in Acts and early church, but everything in the dark ages, if you want to call them that, the Middle Ages, all that time, like no one ever taught me about Augustine, St. Francis of Assisi.
I've had his pizza and I got to tell you, he can keep it. I don't care if he is a saint.
You don't care.
No.
Or even Martin Luther, if you get in,
right.
Martin Luther or John Calvin or those kinds of guys, because the traditions, I don't necessarily agree with everything, but like that side of history wasn't very, we weren't steeped in that.
Yeah, I think about that a lot too. Like we grew up in this era of, hey, let's wear tank tops and shorts to church because God doesn't care. Like there's this, we kind of went to this, the far other end of the spectrum where God's close to you and he doesn't care about the outside.
Yeah.
And so let's throw away liturgy and let's throw away these things that are like these, what we thought were stiff rituals. And because we're going to have this closeness with God, this veil's being torn away.
Yeah.
And I think some of the stuff we threw out, like you say, is like this weird reverence that we should have. Like there's something that liturgy brings in that's a quietness. And we grew up in a very loud tradition.
Exactly.
Where it's almost like a show.
Well, I mean, if you even go back to the Reformation, it is a reaction. It's reforming something.
Right.
And so all of our movements in the modern age seem to be very reactionary, which means that they're going to attempt to find another side to whatever once was. And in doing that, yes, we lost center. So what we really need to do is move more to the center and not necessarily – same thing with now when we look at our past.
This sounds like compromise to me, John. More to the center?
Well, but there's,
I don't know.
There's this rich history and this richness to the body of Christ historically that is lost in our traditions. And some of that is presentism or modernism, which is the bias that says I believe everything
– recency bias,
Everything right now is better than what was. And we have access to much more information, even though we're so much less educated in many ways.
Well, I mean, there's a million proofs that that's not true just in technology. I mean, go listen to an MP3 of your favorite song. Like I listened to a Van Morrison record the other day on my phone and it was so terrible. There were whole horn parts missing that I remembered from listening on vinyl.
Wow.
And so now they're having to offer like lossless. Have you heard this?
No.
The push for lossless MP3s, which will have all the original WAV file.
Wow.
But it's a huge track and you're going to have to pay for services for that. So it's like sound music has gone backwards.
Wow.
Because it's for convenience. So I can email you a file or we can listen or you can listen to a podcast.
Right.
And so we're willing to sacrifice a little bit of clarity.
To decrease its size and decrease its clarity in order to share it easily.
But find me somebody with like an old record collection and they're experiencing the music as it was intended, really.
Yeah.
Honestly, so this idea, we're going back to the old ways in some ways. Do you see vinyl coming back? And
well, then the same thing is true of church. I think that you're in this place of, well, because somebody made too much ritual over hundreds of years out of liturgy, and they did.
Or abused the ritual, et cetera,
And there's truth to that. Then, and I've been guilty of this, instead of reforming that, what I often did was I threw that out and went to the other side instead of bringing the other side and this side to the middle a little bit and saying, hey, where is the place where, because my friend and I were talking, we both have at times felt in this season of our life, like a great term is I'm a man with no country.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't necessarily ascribe to everything from my past, and I'm learning new things where I find that people have lived there this whole time. And it's really jarring. it really makes you feel like the ground's moving underneath you a little bit, you know. But when you kind of lean into that to say, okay, what can I rediscover? And Advent's one of those things. Okay, man, this is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, I was reading in Dallas Willard was talking about like silence and solitude, and he really dives down deep into, and how much, by the way, this is 1998 when he wrote that, how much even since then is silence and solitude really missing from the Christian spiritual discipline experience?
Yeah.
You know, we are, like you said, everything's loud. We're in and out. No dead space.
Yeah.
You guys are laughing at this. We have these two, they're called sock ducks, okay, in our sanctuary. And what they are is they're fabric AC ductwork.
Yeah, so when the AC is off, they're just kind of like hanging there.
Yeah.
And then when the AC comes on, it goes.
It fills it up, yeah. Yeah, like a big sock with
holes
in it.
And it's a loud noise.
Yeah. And so one of the things you have to do when you come in on Sunday morning is what you don't want is in the middle of something for those to come on because it makes a big noise. So you make sure that the fans are turned on all the time. Occasionally, like on a Friday or something, or every once in a while on a Sunday morning when the temperature is just medium and it's not fluctuating, someone will forget to turn those on. And when I'm speaking, and that noise is not on behind me, it is a deafening, discouraging silence for me.
Yeah.
When I'm talking, it feels like I'm talking into just this vacuum, and I feel as if no one's listening. And I will sometimes on a Friday run through, so literally I'll have 2-3 people on a run through with staff members, and I will go turn on those things because I cannot endure that level of
it's
silence.
A sock duct of discouragement.
Isn't that true for all of us?
Isn't that just like our Lord?
Oh my.
He released us from the sock duct of.
He
changed our filter, and I don't know what he did.
He turned on the fan of his grace and filled the empty vacuum with noise.
His train filled the temple.
Yep. So his train.
Train is a heating and air company, too.
So I think that there's just a lot of truth to that we are missing this opposite side. And to be quite honest with you, most of us are terrified of it. Like,
we're afraid of introspection, so we keep things going on all the time. I was talking to Dane about that the other day. We had lunch, and he was saying he's having a hard time sleeping, but he said the main thing is when I'm quiet at night, all these thoughts rush into my head. It's like, and I go, well, that's the first time you've had a moment to think to yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all your past weird, embarrassing moments come flooded in, something you did in eighth grade.
Yeah.
It all goes, now, and get him, swarm. And it's because you've been looking at your phone or you've been looking at your screens at home, whatever it is.
Wow.
And that's the first time you have to engage with yourself. And so your mind's like, I got you now.
Probably insomnia is on. We think it's the blue screen, but a lot of it
could be. Yeah.
You haven't let your brain process that day to be alone, and it's necessary. I often think about that. Like you and I have been on mission field, which is so funny. When we were in Panama and that wind blew in that mountain at night and your tent's moving all around you, you know, like I would put in that's where I learned how to sleep with headphones.
Yeah.
Was there.
Well, because of my snoring.
Yes, you were one tent over. And
you know,
yes.
My snoring's gone now.
Really?
Since I lost the weight, boom, gone.
Gone?
Gone.
That's amazing.
Like every now and again, I go, little, just one or two.
How do you know? Does she tell you that
she'll
it does
say,
that?
Like, yeah, for like a half a second, you snored, and then you stopped.
Wow.
Gone. I'm a new man.
Hey, by the way, all of you who are joining us right now on the second stream of this, and we're actually going to be wrapping up here soon. If you want to catch up, that Facebook Live stream will stay up for how long?
I don't know how long they are. Yeah. We don't know anything about this.
We don't
stuff,
know,
John.
But you can go just look on that Talk About That podcast page.
And if you see inappropriate comments from people who said they were our friends, just go by them because they're just trying to get attention for themselves. We don't know what people are posting.
We didn't see all of it, but I know we lost a lot of listeners when that went down because your computer failed us, even though you blame mine. That was you. So you can go back, though.
Can't both of our computers be failures?
And for a little while, if you'd like to go back and watch that old feed, you still can. And then you can jump over to this one to finish up. So we're just letting you know that. That'd be great.
John.
Do you think we should do a live feed podcast from Wisconsin? We talked about that with a live audience.
That'd be fun. That would be fun.
Problem is, it's going to be late.
We could hand out a microphone and take questions, too.
Yeah. I don't know if all of them are listeners. Someone asked on here which part of Wisconsin. We're going to. I just booked the flight. Sheboy. Hey, holla at Sheboy.
Wawato. They all have such weird names.
Okay.
Man.
It's I'm flying into Milwaukee. Can tell you that.
It's Manitowoc.
Manitowoc. Yeah, I'll just give me a second. It was coming.
Manitowoc.
Manitowoc. Yeah.
Which that's where the Making a Murderer is based. That whole police force was called into question, so they're very sensitive about that.
Oh, wow.
So we won't bring that up. No, we won't talk about
that. I'm glad we didn't say anything.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, Making a Murderer was fascinating. You don't watch? Do you watch a lot of documentaries?
No, I don't. Well, yes, I watch Ken Burns documentaries on history.
You watch the country music one yet?
No, but I've heard it's good. I
need to watch it.
Yeah,
need to watch it. I need to.
You know that John Meacham, who wrote Soul of America, and he wrote he's won like 5 Pulitzer Prizes. It's crazy.
John, I don't see. You've won awards.
It's true. It's true. I wonder if his Pulitzer Prizes.
You and John Meacham are like this.
Right.
He's up here with his Pulitzer, and you're the thumb.
Yeah. And if you're listening on audio, Johnny made this. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You can't see.
You like this.
Yeah. But he wrote a book with Tim McGraw about the history of country music, so that they released. I think it's a New York Times bestseller as well.
Wow.
He's a Vanderbilt.
When are you going to have a New York Times bestseller, Johnny?
You know what, Johnny? It hurts.
It's like people that ask me, hey, when are you going to get on Netflix?
Right.
Like you just get a Netflix deal.
When are you going to be on Fallon?
Yeah.
Have you called him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he keeps asking, and I keep telling him no, yeah. Jimmy.
Yeah.
I'm not in the mood. And I block his calls.
Too busy doing these other things, this podcast. So I would ask the question right now of the people, is this good and should we do it again?
Oh, man. You're putting us out there. I don't like this.
Yeah, like, did you like watching? Is it something that you want us to try again another time?
No, there's no way.
You don't think so?
It's fine. We'll just keep doing what we do.
We'll see. We'll see what... I see we've gained a few people who we lost in the first stream. For God's sake, could you make sure that your computer's ready next time and doesn't lose it right in the middle of it, man?
I'll try.
You had one job. You were over here turning the crank on your computer.
I was. I'm sorry, guys. We'll do better. Thanks for listening, though, and subscribe and all the other nonsense. If you're watching on Thing and you don't normally subscribe, you can find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. How do you do it?
Yes, you can go. Yes. There's multiple platforms.
Spotify.
We are on Spotify.
There you go.
Yeah, we're on Spotify.
And you can find me at johnnyw.com, johndriver.net.
No, .com.
Are you a .com now?
Yes.
Look who's
you
all.
You know that.
Look who's all grown up.
You know
Didn't
that.
You have to buy it?
Oh, well, yeah.
How much
Everyone
was
has
it?
To buy it, Johnny. They don't give them away for free.
No, but I'm saying you bought it from the guy who was a squatter
it
on
It was
your
a lot of money
site.
That... they were asking originally, and then a friend of mine somehow found a way to talk them down to still what would, it's not a lot of money, but it was more than I wanted to pay, but it was like a third of what it originally was. I don't know if he threatened them. I don't know what he did, but
oh my gosh,
I got it, so it was great.
This is intense. So now you're a .com.
But I've had that now for like 7 years.
I want to be a .edu. Just
for the heck of it.
Yeah.
You can go to johnnyw.edu, and you can watch my classes on...
I think there will be a dot comedy soon for comedy sites because there's a lot of those now where it's like specific jobs. Have
Are they going to call them dot comedy?
Dot comedy.
Really?
Wouldn't you be?
Can we make a dot something of our own? Could you make your own suffix?
Dot talk ab that pod.
Dot pod. You could do dot pod.
There probably is a dot pod.
We need to do a dot pod.
Talk about that dot pod.
Can you go right now and buy up all dot pods?
Well, not now because you've just told the world and they're all doing it.
Oh my gosh, are millions of listeners. We're paying attention.
It's fine.
I want to know if anybody listened to my sitcom idea from last week.
And what you thought of it.
And what you thought of it. Like
the pitch. The elevator pitch was Jerry acting.
Jerry acting. He's Jerry the Third. His grandfather's moving to a retirement community.
Yeah.
And he's moving there to go to grad school, and he's going to live because he can't afford otherwise.
Live for free.
He's going to live for free, like this fancy, like Del Webb kind of place.
The grandfather dies.
And right before they're moving, the grandfather dies.
So he now has to pretend to be the grandfather.
Yeah, he's so desperate. He dresses up because no one's met the grandfather. He goes in and he plays his grandfather and himself.
So he lies from the outside. This is not family programming.
It's bosom buddies. It's very much family programming, Johnny. It's just, it's a comedy. It's a comedy. And you have a live studio audience who's laughing at the gags, and so now
they even do that anymore.
He's running around trying to balance the hijinks that occur between being Jerry and Jerry.
I think we go canned laughter, but canned laughter from like an old I Love Lucy, so it sounds like old people.
Have you ever listened to canned laughter where you can hear that
specific
one person?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Again and again,
yeah.
Same. You're like that's the same laugh from three jokes.
But they
ago.
Still have a live audience. It's just that their laughter is not good enough.
My buddy Marty went to Fallon. We went to Fallon taping. Okay, live in New York City because he knew one of the producers. So we're there, and Marty was so obnoxious. He goes. There'd be like a time when the crowd would laugh and Marty would go, because he wanted to be able to hear his laugh when we watched it live.
Did it
that
work?
Night. Yes, it worked. I can't remember. I know there was a couple times he leaned into a couple of shots where they would get the audience, and they edited him right out.
Oh, Marty, that's great.
But I was like, we stop doing that, and he finally, I think he kind of.
Hey, by the
out.
Way, Bill Ritichie, Bill, I'm sorry.
Oh no,
Bill, I'm trying. I don't know how to pronounce your last name, and you can't tell me because you're leaving a comment.
Yeah.
If you can write it phonetically into the comment stream,
that would be specific.
It'd be amazing. But he says he would definitely watch Jerry acting, make it happen. Christy Brumman says she likes the sitcom idea. Matt Stewart says that's all caps gold. Johnny, this is all we need. This is the feedback
we
needed.
Those are the three. That's our angel investors right there. We got three.
I would like to say, actually, if you're watching, I see some people watching a live stream that I doubt that you are an audio subscriber.
Yeah, subscribe.
And you ought to, because if you enjoyed this.
You have 82 episodes.
Yeah, there's.
83?
88. This is episode 89
that's
going
more.
Out right now. So there's actually a lot of great content back there, and you could start
some
if you wanted to.
Stories.
You could work backwards if you wanted to. You could go to 87, then 86, and you could count all the way back to the beginning of Talk About That. But I would love for you to go and share and subscribe. We also, honestly, truth be told, Johnny and I don't make any money off of this, but no. We would like to get it to
there's
more people.
There's really no reason we should even be doing it.
Right. We do it because we talk about it for years.
Care about people.
We care. Yeah, we do. We want to have some things we wanted to talk about.
Care about
and we actually really enjoyed getting to do this together. We always get to go to lunch and hang out and talk, and it's kind of our time a little bit. Johnny, this is our time.
To coordinate our shirts.
Right. We did not mean to coordinate. That was a question. We did not mean to. Rytiger.
Are you not?
Which one, though?
Have you lost the ability to read?
Rytiger. Right? Is that right? Rytiger. You would have had to all caps one of those syllables for me to know which one to emphasis. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have had to know that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but hey, I would like, how about this? How about somebody who's watching live who says, I'm going to go subscribe to the audio so we would know that this benefited. Could you let me know in the live stream comments that, yeah, you know what? Now that I've seen this.
Now that you got the Costco sample.
Yeah.
You're going to buy the whole bulk size.
Wow, I see a comment. Are you still on that one over there? You're not.
I don't know
you?
Which one I'm on, John.
I see someone talking about five smooth stones from years ago. It's more than five.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Nathan Cassidy is giving a Five Smooth Stones reference. Another youth girl, youth group kid, man, who's made good.
Yeah.
Who's also a realtor.
Wow, way to go, Nathan.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, good job.
In Florida. He's saying he remembers Five Smooth Stones, which was our band.
That was our original name.
Original name. He wants to know what Johnny has against Alabama. Somebody wants to know what Johnny has against Alabama. Nothing against Alabama.
Ed Love Wiley is unsubscribing from audio and using video only now. Well, that's, Ed, that's hurtful.
My buddy
hurtful.
Byron Trimble's listening. Huh. Who's a great comic. He's out of, I think he's Michigan based now. He was in Tulsa.
Nice.
And a great musical comic.
Amy, who we've already referenced, says she will go subscribe, but she said, tell me how, and she's laughing face. Amy, that's a great question. Thank you for setting me up for that. If you don't know how, you just need to go and look up on your podcast app, whichever one you're using, talk about that, or search our names if you can't find it, and you'll know. Don't be surprised. In that old picture, I actually have a little bit of hair on my head. So we may sure get that changed.
I thought you just shaved it because you like this look better.
I do like this look better.
It does look better.
Yeah. So
you got a nice head, John.
Well, thank you, Johnny. It was kind of a crapshoot.
You
don't know what's going to be under there.
Could be square. You don't know.
Yeah, I remember my wife and my daughter were gathering around as it came off. Like, what are we going to have?
Yeah, it's like
are we
going to be ashamed of being unsheathed?
Right. Am I going to be ashamed now of my dad for the rest of my life?
Well, Sadie's about to that age where she'll be ashamed of you guys.
She is in.
Does she do that?
Squarely in the
preteen. Does she do that thing where you walk ahead, she walk like paces ahead of you when you're at the mall or something? Like, don't walk so close to me. I'm a grown up.
No, but like she still gives me a kiss when she gets out of the car in the morning.
Oh, that's
you
nice.
Know? And so she's not, and I basically have told her like, and this is, I don't know, you tell them all kinds of things when they're young, like that it's going to work and you can create some sort of like agreement or contract, but it doesn't because they don't remember.
The contract
and they
is out the window.
No.
Because you didn't count on yourself getting as lame as you're going to get.
Right, right. And I can't account for how they're going to change.
Yes.
Amy has the Five Smooth Stones CD as well.
Wow.
Guys, I'm
not
going to lie.
There's only a few of those out there.
That was a horrible CD. I'm not.
She's probably listening to it and love it. You can't.
It may be. Yes, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be like stomping on your childhood, Amy. I don't mean to. I just mean the production wasn't that great and the songwriting wasn't that great and the performance wasn't that great. But the rest of it.
Everything else, the album artwork.
I think you would have found that back then we were better live than that CD. Much better.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We had a producer. We've told the story. I don't want you to say his name again and call him out. Yeah. Johnny like just took him to task last time.
Oh, man, I want
but
to.
But I would just say that it wasn't the best recording experience, and we didn't know any better. You know what I'm saying? Right. To be like, hey, that actually we shouldn't leave that. We just thought once they edited it that it was going to be a lot better. So, yeah. But it wasn't. No. As it turned out, it was worse.
But thanks for
support. Yeah, but thanks for listening. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
But you can go and subscribe, and you can share. It'd be great if you share.
Leave a review. That helps with the old algorithm and all that nonsense.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then you can go to Patreon if you want. And truth be told, it would be really helpful because we would like to bring another person on to a person who actually gets paid on to the Talk About That podcast team.
Yeah.
So that they could really help us in the areas of especially social media production.
Right.
And promotion. So helping like little snippets like this, little video snippets and things that would go out on Instagram and other places that they could really put their time into mining the content and bringing
out these
things.
You're taking this money and you're buying a new keyboard, John.
Yeah. We got a new keyboard coming. That was the end of the story. New keyboard's coming. And it's got a touch screen and stuff. So
that's more things that can go wrong.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea. It's like it's completely way beyond what anything that I need.
That's
but yeah, I'll find the piano sound and use it. So. But guys, we appreciate you listening and being a part of it. And we'll probably do this again. Sounds like it went well and you guys enjoyed it. Good comments. And thank you for all just logging in live. If you're listening audio-wise, it means a lot to us as well. Maybe next time you can join us on the video stream as well. But hey, guys, send us your questions, your comments, share it, review it, and we'll see you next time. We'll
talk about that.
What do you do when the world around you is falling apart? It's amazing to me how many people are breathing air. They're going about their business and doing the things you're supposed to do. But if you really ask them, they know that on the inside, they are spiritually and emotionally and relationally dead. If we're not careful, all of us can experience that death. When what we need to do, even as the world around us is falling apart, we need to learn how to march when it would be easier to stay where we are and die. Join me each week on the March or Die Show as we discuss that and so much more.